Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillahi wahdah, wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa nabiyyana wa shafi'ana wa maulana Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة أن يشكر لله ومن يشكر فإنما يشكر لنفسه ومن كفر فإن الله غني حميد صدق الله العظيم. Fellow my kiram, most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen, our receivers. We know that the Jummah occasion, we have about 20 minutes to give some kind of a bayan and waz. And for many, many people, unfortunately, those 20 minutes are the only 20 minutes that they listen to something about deen. I'm not talking about in this area of ours. We must not look at one small place or one small locality or one small area and then look at the samples there and come to conclusions. Travel out in the world and then see how many people, the Jummah occasion is about the only occasion in which they listen to some waz or nasihat. The rest of the time they've got absolutely nothing to do with deen. Either they are reading newspapers, magazines, listening to radio stations or watching television programs, or they are cut off completely. They don't have any education. They are illiterate. There are millions like that around the globe. And then what happens is that unfortunately, those 20 minutes which are available also in most parts of the world, what happens is that the speaker is also speaking in a language which they don't understand. Go to UK. I traveled many, many towns and cities in UK. America, I went to many cities. Unfortunately, those youth, they don't understand a word of Urdu language. But the ulama that are there are from India, from Pakistan. Now it is difficult for them to speak English. So they speak in the Urdu language. So the whole congregation gets up from there, or 90% of those that are there get up from there without understanding anything that was spoken. So unfortunately, this is our situation. Now what do we do at such a time? At such a time, we can still adopt the same method that others are adopting. And that is that for those 20 minutes also, we speak about the very same things which are being discussed at the weddings, at the walimas, in our business houses, in our cars, and in our meetings, and outside the masjid, and everywhere else, we are talking about the same issues that are appearing in the newspapers, in the magazines. So indeed, there is a place for everything. We are not saying that there is no place for discussion of other issues. But there are certain issues which are relevant to us at all times in our lives. And for that, we have just this 20 minutes. So if we are going to all just discuss politics, politics, politics all the time on Jummah occasion, or what is happening in Palestine, in Chechnya, in Bosnia, in Kashmir, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, as happens in many masajid which are attached to universities and colleges, then that is about the only thing that they listen for every Jummah occasion. So what happens at the end of the day is that we sympathize, we empathize, we pass a few comments, we show some kind of compassion and mercy for those people who are suffering, and then we will say, well, must make some contribution, some donation. But we will not allow our nafs to focus on ourselves. Our focus will always be on people around the globe, around the world, which is also part of Islamic teachings. We cannot live in isolation. Any Muslim or any person suffering in any part of the globe, it is the concern of the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But that does not mean that on the day of Qiyamah, every Ummati will be brought before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and then questioned with regards to somebody in another part of the world. that why he died without iman, as some people say. But each and every person will be questioned about himself, that how much of Islam and iman he had within himself. So the concern should be there for the ummah around the globe. But if you ask the person, what about you? Then the person will say, well, we must worry more about what is happening around the world. That shows the nafs doesn't want to accept it. So these issues which are being discussed in the light of the Quranic verses and ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they are there for our own reformation and change. Because if every ummati of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has to bring about this reformation and change within himself, the whole ummat will change. But if we want the whole ummah to change but ourselves, then if everybody is going to think like that, then who is going to change? There's going to be no change. So the focus has to be our own selves. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara wa quduhan nasu wal hijara. Save yourselves and your families from the fire of Jahannam. Now can we tell to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, what is this you are ordering us that we must save ourselves first and work on our families and save them from the azab of Jahannam? We've got so much of concern for the ummah and you are addressing us that we must save ourselves. The reason is that we are going to be questioned with regards to our actions and deeds. Indeed, we must make dua. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives hidayat to everybody and make an effort to whatever extent Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us the himmat and courage to do. But in the process, we must not neglect ourselves. This is our weakness, that go to the homes of those people who are preaching from the mimbars and from the pulpits, and those people who are inviting towards deen and the Quran and the sunnah and the sharia, and towards honesty and truthfulness and charity and generosity and kindness and sympathy and compassion and love and affection, all those kind of words that we use. But then when we look into our own lives, we find that we are nowhere near there. Again, it does not mean that we must give up what we are doing. We must carry on. But we must not forget that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's message is very, very clear. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْ يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. If you are going to turn away, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to replace you with another nation. We can see how people are coming into Islam. They are coming in large numbers into Islam. All these wars and all these bombings and all these disasters have become the means of people finding out more about Islam. 9/11 became the means of people inquiring about Islam. The more they condemn Islam, criticize the hijab, criticize the parda, and criticize the morality of the Muslims, the more the people are getting interested that what is this religion? That throughout the world everybody is talking about Islam and the Muslim, although they may be painting them in a very bad picture. But the thing is that it's creating that inquisitiveness. People want to then know, they want to learn. There was not one copy of the Quran Sharif translation available in America after 9/11. After a few days, if you went to any bookshop, there was not one copy of the Quran Sharif available. And those Muslim bookshops and others who stocked the Quran Sharif translations, they say never was there such a demand for Quran Sharif translations as was when after 9/11. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not muhtaj, He is not in need of us. He blessed us with Islam, with Iman, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us the guideline. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam exemplified it in his life. And then it was left for us to make amal. If we had been making amal on it, if we had something to present to the non-Muslim, they would have come into Islam very easily. But they have absolutely nothing to see in our lives. Sometimes they see our outward garb, they get very impressed. Then they enter into some transaction and deal with us, and that impression has changed completely. The whole image has changed. We receive so much of letters from non-Muslims. Wallah, I'm in the masjid, I can't be speaking lies here. From non-Muslims who clearly state that we were convinced that this person will never betray the trust that we have placed in him. Or this person who is a Muslim with whom I transacted my business, I never ever expected that I will suffer such a huge loss entering into partnership with him or giving him my money for investment. So many of them. When our Muslim bank closed down and when many other things happened, how many people wrote letters? So the thing is that we have to be very much on guard. Our akhlaq, our character is what people are going to see. So therefore, Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam's incident which I am discussing, it is something that is relevant to our times. It's not that it's not relevant, it's not irrelevant. It is relevant every day of our lives. So we must sympathize with those people who are suffering around the globe, do whatever we can, assist them financially, assist them with our funds, assist them in whichever way we can, or we at least make dua for them. But to spend all our life just talking about something that's happening thousands of miles away and forgetting what is happening in this small world of ours, then when the person is going to go into the grave, he will go empty-handed. So Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was asked that what is it that made you reach such high stages in your life, and yet that shepherd said that, is it not true that you were grazing the sheep with me? And what is this that suddenly now people are flocking from all sides and coming to you for your to listen to your wise words? How did you reach those stages? And that's what I mentioned last week, that we are only concerned about karamat of the awliya. Indeed, there are great karamat of the awliya kiram. But we forget to ask that how did they reach those stages where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made them do those things which were sometimes miraculous, with the fazal of Allah Ta'ala. It was those actions of theirs, the contentment of theirs, the taqwa of their lives, the piety, the righteousness, the God fear that they had, the honesty in their dealings, the compassion, the love, the mercy and the kindness that they showed. That is what made them reach those stages. Some of those incidents we read, it just shocks us beyond belief that how a person can go to this level of khidmat and service for the people, which brought people into the deen of Islam. Hazrat Maulana Madani Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali, during the British time, we know that he was in the forefront with his Shaykh, Hazrat Shaykh ul Hind Rahmatullah Ali, in the fight against the British government. And he was also arrested and put into Malta prison with his Shaykh, Hazrat Shaykh ul Hind Rahmatullah Ali. So they made tremendous amount of sacrifices. One occasion is in the train, and the person who used to criticize him, mock him, tease him, ridicule him and run him down, because they were also the stooges of the British government from amongst the Muslims who were supporting the government. So the person who was doing all those kind of things, it so happened that they happened to be together in the same train. Now this person did not recognize Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali. He just heard that he is anti-British government and this and that. But in that same train, the person went to the toilet and he found that it was in a terrible mess. So he came back again and he started talking about the people using the toilets and making a mess of everything and not allowing other people to use it in a clean state and all the filth he spoke about. Now he was restless because he wanted to visit the toilet. Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali gets up after listening to him after a little while as if he wanted to visit the toilet. He goes to the toilet, he takes his lota, the jug, water jug that he used to carry always on safar, and he cleans the whole toilet up. And then he comes back and he sits down on the chair and doesn't even say, I went and cleaned it up and made a big story and big issue and announced. He comes back and he says that, I don't think what you're saying is true, because I just went to the toilet now and everything seems to be okay. When he went and returned, the person was so overcome when he found out that this was that same Maulana Madani Rahmatullah Ali that he was ridiculing and criticizing and mocking and teasing. He said, if this is the akhlaq of this person, then what right do I have to oppose him? So what I am saying is that Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, it was some characteristics of his which he mentioned himself for the lessons of the ummah. The Quran Sharif is till the day of Qiyamah. So we are not discussing the nasihats that have been mentioned in the Quran Sharif. Here we are saying that he said that there were certain things in my life that I did due to which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave me this hikmat and wisdom. And we have discussed the first one, he says, the control of the gaze. The first thing you mentioned there was control of the gaze. Now we've discussed that to some extent. But that is indeed one of those things which develops taqwa in the person's life. Accidental glance is maaf, it is forgiven. But the habit that we have of following the woman, if the person is on the street and now he saw some pretty woman, now he's following the person from this end to the other end. He's following the woman in any direction she's going. The person is casting lustful glances at her. Now what's going to happen? The heart of the person is going to become pitch black. Darkness will settle in that heart. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that An-nazru sahamu masmumun min sahami iblis. Man tarakaha khawfam min Allah. A'taahu Allahu imanan sayajidu halawatahu fi qalbihi. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. That this gaze is a poisonous arrow of shaitan. It's a poisoned arrow, not just an arrow also. Shaitan has claimed that this arrow of mine, it never misses the target. Now if the person is going to gaze, then shaitan's poisonous arrow has got him. I mentioned that for professional reasons in business houses and other things, the person has to look around, it's a different issue. There too he must be very careful and on guard that nafs does not get the better of him. Unnecessarily, if we are going to just say that, how can we avoid it? How can we avoid it? But then it means that we are saying that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has imposed upon us something that we cannot do. So he says it's a poisonous arrow. But the person who gives up that evil glancing and lustful glance, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give him iman in his heart. The sweetness of which Allah Ta'ala will give him such kind of iman, that the sweetness of which he will taste in his heart. Now if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is talking about the sweetness of iman, then can it be a lie? That means the person will get tawfiq of mu'amal. He will get peace and sukoon in his life. He will get some kind of enjoyment which he will not be even able to express in words, because it is an enjoyment that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving from his treasures. So look at the zina that is being committed. Because immediately after that it also said protection of his private parts, meaning protection of chastity. Whosoever will get involved in illicit relationships, and it has become so common. And look at the disaster in the lives of the people that it is creating. Some 2 or 3 years ago I mentioned, and it happened in so many other cases also. But that person I cannot forget, because he was a young person looking very, very decent, well attired, looking like a namazi person. And he comes and he says, Maulana, please make dua for me. My life is in danger. They want to kill me. I said, who wants to kill you? Why is your life in danger? He says, at the university I fell in love with a Hindu woman and she is pregnant. They want to kill me. They want to murder me. Mana maasiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai, janaza abru ka dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai. You've heard this before too. A little while of pleasure, but look at the misery in the life of the person. How sad you feel at that time. Some young boys were celebrating their distinctions in matric. I'm not mentioning any names. Only I know and they know. And this happened last year. They were celebrating their distinctions. With whom were they celebrating? With prostitutes. And 2 months later, the young person comes. And he says, Maulana, please make dua. I have been tested HIV positive. A young flower of Islam. A young blooming flower. Now what happens? So these illicit relationships, this is what it leads to. There was Valentine time, and whether Muslim, non-Muslim, all were going headlong, Valentine. Muslim business houses also promoting the same thing. Make the money and cash in whilst the goings are good, irrespective of what it is promoting. This has become our condition. And then we are crying. Muslims are being attacked, Muslims are being persecuted, Muslims are being tortured, Muslims are, this is happening, that is happening. And their own lives also, we have got no peace, no happiness, restlessness, we're getting bad, bad dreams. And shaitan seems to be pressing us. And there's so much of jadu that has been done upon us. Is no jadu, nothing. It is just our sins that are catching up with us. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give us an understanding.
Uska sukoon chin gaya, kitni hai talkhi ye hayat, jisne chakhe hai dosto, fani buton ke namkiyat.
That person's sukoon, peace, tranquilities, joy and happiness is snatched away by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala when the person involves himself in some kind of illicit relationship. Ask those people who are married and they involved in illicit relationship, how much of disaster in their lives. How many wives have found out, and as a result, marriages on some have broken and some are on breaking point. Now they look at the children. Now they say, hi, I'm missing my children. Then why get caught up in illicit relationship?
So Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that this was another point in my life that I went out of my way. That means we know that he would not have committed adultery or fornication, but it was a lesson for us that if you also want those high stages of wilayat, and if you want to become a hakim and a wise person, where people will come to you and ask for your wisdom and benefit from it, then do those things that he has mentioned. Once again, I will just list the two or three more, or there are many others, but just two or three more, where he said, because sometimes the audience, somebody is here this Jummah and not here next Jummah. It's about fulfillment of the rights, the meaning of which is fulfillment of the rights of the neighbors, fulfillment of promises, qana'at on rizq, satisfaction and contentment on halal rizq, which inshallah we will discuss. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal. May Allah remove the difficulties, hardships, pain, problem and suffering of the ummah around the globe. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.